Encountering racism every day, studies have shown that this can have an ongoing corrosive impact on people's mental and physical health. But it's one thing to experience difficulties ourselves. It's very different seeing our children going through them. Dr. Kathomi Gatwiri is Senior Research Fellow at the Centre for Excellence in Therapeutic Care at Southern Cross University. She's been speaking with African migrants about what it's like to raise their children in Australia. Kathomi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, you talked to 27 highly skilled professional African migrant parents from different sub-Saharan countries. Tell us why you decided to do this. What was the gap that you saw in the research?
My broader research was really about investigating experiences, Afro-diasporic experiences of belonging for highly skilled African migrants, because I realized that there was a gap in researching migrants who come to Australia really without a refugee background. There's a tendency to over-research refugee entrance in Australia, but not a lot of research had been done on Africans who come here through very highly skilled entry forms. And so that's where I started to think about, you know, are their experiences different to refugee entrants, and how can we start to make sense of these two groups of Africans in Australia? And that's where I started to see, you know, quite a gap in not just employment, but also parenting and how they fit into the broader Australian space.
And the parenting was just fascinating to read about. But I wanted to ask too, because it turned out that there might have been a gap for some people between their expectations about racism in Australia and the reality. Tell us about that.
So for most people who I spoke to, everybody told me about this process of becoming black in Australia. And it's not that my participants didn't know they were black. It's because most of them come from countries that are predominantly black. So there's not a sense of you know, I'm black every day, you know, because you live in a predominantly black country and race is not really one of the primary identity markers. But when you come in a country where then blackness becomes the primary identity marker, then people go through what they referred to the process of becoming African and the process of becoming black. And, you know, and that anxiety or that complexity really transferred into how they also teach their children about, you know, being black and race and all those things that they'd not experienced before in their countries of origin. So that was quite interesting.
We're speaking with Kathomi Gatwiri, Senior Research Fellow at the Centre for Excellence in Therapeutic Care at Southern Cross University. And we're joined too by Helen McGoy. She works professionally supporting the refugee community in Adelaide, where she lives with her 14-year-old daughter. Helen, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for joining the program.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Helen, when you first came to Adelaide, did you expect that you would encounter racism?
No. I think because Australia is one of the most progressive societies in the world, and it's multicultural and quite diverse, I didn't expect to encounter racism.
Would you mind, Helen, telling us about some of the experiences that you and your child have had?
Personally, I've been asked why I came here, why I should go back to my country. And one day someone asked me to go and have a shower to get rid of my black skin.
Good Lord.
That was my my own experience, but what I didn't expect was that my daughter would go through the same. So at school and in social activities, she's been called a slave. And at another time, she was asked for a pass for one of her classmates to use the N-word, you know. Yeah, so it's it's been a bit challenging, and I didn't think that people in this day and age in 21st century would still make such racist comments.
Yes, that's appalling that she's being asked to ask for permission to use derogatory words around her. Helen, how do you manage this in your family? Are there things that you draw on when you talk to your daughter around these things?
As Dr. Gatwiri just said, is having been raised in Africa, this is not something that I was visible when I was growing up. Same to my daughter, because we spend large part of our lives in Kenya. So I had, to confront something that I never had had to deal with before.
Indeed. Kathami Gatwiri, Helen, are there things that you'd like to tell us about how you move forward with that, how you talk to your daughter about what's happening to her and strengths that she can draw on to deal with it?
Okay, so I did provide, as a mother, I provided emotional security and assurance of my love and support, and to, you know, to understand and encourage her to be who she is. So first of all, I had a candid talk with her, and I had to go back and explain the history of slavery and the legacy of the N-word. So we spoke about what happened in the past centuries, and why people still harbor hate and prejudice towards people of color.
And those must be.
And one thing that I encouraged her was just, first of all, to make her be proud of herself for who she is. And I regularly affirmed her identity, her beauty, and her uniqueness. And I also encourage her to, to express herself, and first of all, above all, to stand up for herself and not to be afraid to call racists out. And I did regularly had to continue encouraging her, maintain a good relationship with her, and also still continue encouraging her to build relationships with people of different colors, different racial backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, and also to maintain a connection with them. So
that's a lot of different strategies. Helen, I really appreciate you telling us about your experiences. I know it can't be easy to talk about, but I'm glad you're able to share them with our listeners today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Helen McGoy, raising her daughter in Adelaide, beautiful city. Unfortunate that she's had to go through these experiences of racism. Kathami Gatwiri, people talk to you about the ways that they help their children feel proud of their heritage. Tell us about some other strategies people use to help children feel that pride in their blackness.
So one of the things that I really wanted to point out is the race plays a really, really central role in the formation of identity. And for most people of color, particularly black people, race informs experiences of almost everything, including work, relationships, parenting, you know, every important aspect of our lives. And so black African parents, you know, learn to negotiate not just the complexities of living in a new country and learning the systems and making friends. They also have to, almost like one parent told me, get a PhD in learning how to raise a black child or a child who looks and feels different in a different country and environment. So some of the things that parents were telling me were, and what I've picked up on other research from the US and the UK, is the importance of teaching black children about something called racial dignity. And this is teaching them about having a sense of a centered sense of self, you know, which is to value themselves, to love themselves, to have internal resilience, because the kind of loss and grief that I picked up from most parents is that, unlike most other forms of issues that they deal with their children, this is something that they will never, ever be able to take away from their children. They can take away racist structures or institutions or racist from their, you know, children's lives. So this is one of those areas in their lives where there's constant grief from the parents about never being able to solve this particular issue for their parents. And so because they can't take away racism and they can't fix racism, they teach children how to have emotional and internal resilience and having a really strong sense of racial identity and cultural identity so that they're not completely diminished by these experiences.
And Kathomi, when you talk about grief, it must be a heartbreaking conversation that you report that so many parents of migrant parents of children have, that they talk about how to act around law enforcement. What did people tell you about how they talk to their children about that here?
So most parents actually told me that they're in this state of paradox, which is they teach their children how to embrace their blackness, you know, really strongly and to have a sense of racial identity. But also at the same time, they must teach their children how to minimize their blackness so as not to attract racist experiences or when dealing with authority or institutional context. So particularly when dealing with law enforcement, with police or, you know, with authority figures that they know might attract negative implications for their children. So it's this thin line for parents between teaching them how to have a strong sense of black identity versus minimize and curate that, you know, every time you're in public spaces so that you can shrink yourself enough so that you don't attract racial profiling either from police or racial profiling from people, you know, in public. So that was talking about grief, that was a huge intersection of where the grief of many parents actually lies in teaching their kids almost to shrink themselves on the daily because the pain of racism kind of feels bigger than the pain of shrinking themselves. So if that makes sense, yeah.
It does, yeah, sadly. Kathomi, you note too in your study that social workers play a really critical role in helping support migrant families to adapt in Australia, including with their parenting. Would you like to see this study help that process change to include this extra layer that goes with parenting a child of African migrants?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think one of the things that, you know, human services in Australia, particularly social workers, can help is to understand that parenting is really difficult, really, for literally everybody. But when you add the extra layer of all these other marginalized identities like race or disability or gender, you know, it becomes really layered. So for social workers to understand those complexities and to kind of understand how race informs parenting. So one of the things that actually came up from this study is parents feeling like they needed to really conform to Eurocentric ideas of parenting because they were so afraid of being negatively profiled by child protection services and authorities, where they felt that their own cultural ways of parenting were kind of erased and diminished or racially profiled in a way that they were stereotyped as bad or backward or things like that. So having social workers understand that there are different and multiple ways of parenting children that do not have to fit into this linear idea of Eurocentric ways of parenting, but also at the same time understanding that Australia has got its own laws and policies around how, you know, to parent children. So social work definitely does play a huge role in helping to understand some of the complexities that play a role in African migrant communities.
There's a lot to talk about. I wish we had more time to explore it with you today, Kathomi, but it's been wonderful for you to share your insights with us. Thank you.
No problem, thank you.
Dr. Kathomi Gatwiri, Senior Research Fellow at Southern Cross University in the Centre for Excellence in Therapeutic Care there. And we heard too from Helen McGoy, who works professionally supporting the refugee community in Adelaide, where she lives with her 14-year-old daughter. And as you heard, some incredible experiences she was reporting there, really awful instances of racism. Kathomi's made a fantastic short video for SBS too called How to Raise Racially Conscious Children. Some great tips for anyone talking to children about difference and inclusivity. We'll pop that up on our website too.